We are back. You are listening to Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. We're going to look at the market this morning. Mike Barker's on the line. Mike, of course, is a regular with us. Mike's with Investment and Retirement Management. He's a chartered retirement planning counselor. He's a certified fund specialist offering securities through Linsco Private Ledger, a member of NASD and SIPC. And good morning, Mike.
Dave, good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And, you know, just before our conversation here, I've been thinking about the conversations we've been having over the last, year and a half. And I can recall at the end of last year, and, of course, we're doing this in this mortgage crisis situation here, it appears. And you said late last year that, you know, you call our attention to this situation with housing and mortgages. And we saw that developing as we went forward this year, and it seems to get worse. And in the face of what you were saying way back there in the beginning, there were a lot of people saying that we'd bottomed out and it's not going to have any impact. And lo and behold, things did get worse, as everybody knows. Now, it seems to me we're seeing some of these same people who are saying this was a minimal problem are now proposing plans to solve this whole problem. It's confusing to me. What are your thoughts on this whole thing? Where do you even start to talk about this?
It's funny how that works, isn't it?
It is.
And boy, that's a good question. Where do we even start with this stuff? And boy, I got to tell you that there are so many angles to this thing now. And we'd spend this show and probably two others talking about it and put half the audience to sleep if we got into all the all the details of this. But I think in a broader sense, I think that as an investor, or someone concerned about the economy or whatever camp you're in, I think the best thing to do is start with what you've just alluded to, and I won't belabor it, but we do need to talk about it just a little bit. We went through most of this year with so many people telling folks that this was a minimal issue, it just was not going to be a problem, we had seen the bottom in housing and all those type things, and not to dwell on our perspective on this throughout the year, but we just never bought that. We just continued to say throughout the year that this was going to get worse, in our opinion. We had not seen the bottom in housing, and it would continue to be a problem. And the reason I say that is now the different people are asking me, what's the difference in now and 3 months ago or 6 months ago or a year ago? The big difference is everyone agrees now that this is a problem. And that puts us up to yesterday in the last few days where we're seeing all sorts of solutions thrown out there or proposals, whether it's the Treasury Department, the Fed talking about this stuff, politicians talking about this stuff, all sorts of people talking about what to do about this problem. And even yesterday, you know, we get this big proposal from the president, and we could tear that apart and look at it up one side and down the other. And you'll get all differences of opinion on that as well. But the things that strike me as things to think about or things to keep in mind with all of this is the first element is it's a recognized problem now. I don't see anyone out there in denial about this like they were a few months ago. So that's one change. The other thing I think should be kept in mind about all this is, and you and I talked about this, I think, 3 or 4 months ago when we first started saying people need to get the word subprime out of their head. This is not just a subprime problem. This is a housing problem. It's a floating rate mortgage problem. It's not just subprime. And the reason that's so important, in my opinion, is the general focus on all these proposals being thrown out there seem to be focused on subprime. And the reason that strikes me as a very interesting element of all this is there's going to be more problems coming down the pike, so to speak, because of mortgages and mortgage debt and home prices dropping and mortgage rates resetting higher for a lot of people. And it's not just subprime people. So the reason I bring that up is if these proposals being thrown out there are focused on subprime, what's coming next when you have the same type problems in all this mortgage debt that's not just subprime? So those are some issues. And there are all sorts of little things you can throw out there just as a quick example or two. The proposal to freeze these rates, I think 5 years was the time frame I saw. What about the person that had an adjustable rate mortgage that reset 3 months ago? And they did all the personal financial things they needed to do to keep their house in order, so to speak, financially, to be able to absorb and pay those higher mortgage payments.
Mike, we need to pause here. Mike Barker is with us from Investment and Retirement Management. We're going to be right back after these messages. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. We're talking about the market this morning with Mike Barker from Investment and Retirement Management. Now, Mike, in the previous segment, we were talking about the president's proposal about mortgages that would temporarily freeze low introductory mortgage rates. What about the people who were involved in this from an investment standpoint, who were looking to make a profit from this? And I suspect that because, if this temporary freeze comes to pass, what about them? That sort of negates the whole reason they made this investment in the first place.
Yeah, excellent point. And that's about item number 7 on my list here, just down this big list of things to ask about or to think about. And responding to that, I think that's the other thing a lot of people forget about. Now, before I get into this, someone out there is going to be thinking that I'm making these comments because we have a big client base invested in this stuff. We do not. So there's no... there's no vested interest in anything I'm about to say. It's just questions out there that folks need to ask about this and on investors. A lot of these mortgages, I think people lose sight of the fact that someone out there was loaning the person the money to go buy the home. And in doing that, that particular individual might have said to themselves a couple of years ago, the lender, I mean, the investor, they might have said, I want to loan money to people to go buy homes with an adjustable rate mortgage because I think interest rates are going to go up over the next few years, and I want the interest rate I'm earning on this loan to this person to go up as well. And so they made that choice, and now here are these plans coming out to freeze that interest rate reset to keep it from happening. So that's a question. What does that mean? How are those people going to look at that? Now, as one counter to that, and I heard this talked about yesterday a lot, some folks were saying if that investor thinks that they're going to not get paid back and end up with a home, so to speak, if those mortgages go up, maybe they're okay with that mortgage not resetting because at least they're continuing to get interest flow off their loan or what have you. So those are just, believe me, we're just scratching the surface on this as far as all the angles involved in this. And this is going to be a very, very interesting next few months as all of this unfolds and people critique it and look at it. And as you would expect, something proposed by the Republican side of things, you're going to have the Democrats come out and say, well, it's not a good idea. And then the Democrats will come out and propose something, and you'll have the Republicans probably coming out saying, why, that's not a good idea. So this is going to be very, very interesting as this unfolds.
Well, this is a curious thing. I can't say that I understand all of this, but it would seem to me that people in the investment community would see this as sort of stepping in and sort of blocking the whole free enterprise system in a way. I would suspect that the investment community would not want to cooperate with this one single bit.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, that's just another angle on this. It's just I'm telling you, it's going to be interesting here the next few weeks and months as all this comes out. And here's another thing. Just none of these are necessarily more important than the other, but it's just things you have to think about here. One of the other proposals I saw the other day, I forget what they're calling it, but there was something in there about they were going to break people into four categories. And without getting into all of that, I just kept seeing phrases like, for example, a person who is paying their mortgage now, meeting their payments, they can afford it, but they cannot afford it if it resets like it's designed to. What do you do with that group? Well, how do you define those people? How do you define afford and not afford? That's different in the eye of the beholder, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
What I think I can afford and what you may think you can afford might be two different things. So, I mean, these are just, we're not answering anything, yeah. But these are the things that are just going to make all of this so incredibly interesting to follow here as we go forward.
This morning we're talking about the market. We have Mike Barker on the line with us. He's a regular on this program. He's with Investment and Retirement Management. We're going to pause. We'll be right back. Stand by. This is Floor Radio. Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. Mike Barker's with us this morning. He's a regular. He's with Investment and Retirement Management. The market was up yesterday. I guess it was down for a while. It was up. Does that mean that the market sees this thing in a favorable light, or they're still digesting it, or they were reacting to other things, or none of the above?
Yeah, good question. It was a positive reaction in the market yesterday. And I'll tell you maybe the best way to characterize that. I was talking to an individual yesterday, just briefly. The guy's been in the market 40-plus years in on Wall Street most of that time, and just a very impressive guy to talk to. And he always tends to put a proper perspective on things. And I was just talking to a guy that knows this guy really well. And I just made the – he said, what do you think about all this all these mortgage bailout plans or proposals or whatever you want to call this stuff. And we talked about it a little bit, and he said that the guy he works for, which is this guy that's been in the business 40-plus years, he said, you're wasting your energy discussing it in that manner. And he said, if you're an investor and you're in the market, you have to – this thing's coming. You know, it's coming down the pike here. And whether you agree with it, don't agree with it, think it's the craziest thing you've ever heard, think it's the most wonderful thing you've ever heard, whatever. If the market likes it, you have to go with it. And the market liked it yesterday. Now with that said, this is another good example, possibly, of when you and I were talking about a few months ago when the Fed lowered rates the first time. You may remember we were talking about how the market had been pretty sloppy before that. They lowered rates. The market started rallying. And we started talking about we felt like the market needed to do a little more work on the downside before maybe we got something sustainable on the upside. And we talked about how the market was maybe getting a little too euphoric about these Fed rate cuts, and it did the same thing on the second one. And now here we are again with something that is thrown out there in the market. That is a solution, a fix, something to make things not as bad, however you want to characterize it, and the market's reacting positively to it. And the question is, over the next few days, is that going to be warranted? And that's another whole discussion, but folks just need to be careful. The market, yeah, I really think you have to go back to when we were talking, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and the Dow had just gone below 13,000. And I had made the comment that I really felt like maybe we had seen enough on the downside finally, and we might be able to firm up and maybe get moving again on the upside. And that was pretty close to the low back then, and the market's gone up, I guess, about 750, 800 points or so from that intraday low not too many days ago. So we've had a pretty good up move here, and more of that yesterday. So where are we now? We have favorable seasonality in the market. December tends to be a pretty favorable period for the market. No guarantees, of course. But and now you've had something thrown at the market again that looks like help coming. When the Fed lowered rates, that was viewed as help coming. When the Fed cut the rates at the discount window, that was viewed as help coming. And I think that's what yesterday was. And as is always the case, the market celebrates a little bit, gets a little euphoric, then it settles back down typically and starts asking, okay, is this stuff really going to help? Why, if things are so great, why are we having to have all this help? So I think that's where we are at the moment. We have the plenty of economic data coming out, Fed meeting next week. But at the moment, just looking at things, the backdrop looks fairly constructive to me for things to still be pretty favorable for the market.
I see.
At least for the short term.
Mike, I need to jump in here. We need to pause. Mike Barker is with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. We're looking at the market this morning with Mike Barker from Investment and Retirement Management. Is there any reason why we think this volatility we've been seeing is going to play itself out? And what do you think?
Yeah, well, I think what you have to do, at least at the moment, is the short term to me still looks fairly constructive. And again, that goes back to couple of weeks ago, I think it was, when we first started seeing the signs that maybe that we had done enough work on the downside. And fortunately, that was correct. And we've mounted a pretty good little up move here since then. And it looks pretty good technically. You know, things are looking more constructive. Now, in this market, it can turn in a heartbeat. But the difference today versus, say, 6 to 8 weeks ago, when we were still looking for more downside, that we finally got, a lot of the indicators have flipped over. So I always tell people, we don't want to confuse what we know with what we think. And right now, what we know is we're just seeing a better backdrop technically in a lot of different areas of the market. Things are just better at the moment than they were when we were looking for downside. Now, as far as what we think, that's an opinion. But things just look a lot better now technically and in lots of other ways for the market. And someone was asking me the other day, where do I think the market will be in 6 months? Well, we don't think that way. I have no idea. It just depends on how we unfold the next few days, next few weeks, and we take it from there. So to really sum up, things look a lot better to us than they did, say, 6 to 8 weeks ago when we were looking for downside. So that's good. As far as 2008, that's a lengthy discussion, but as far as your question about volatility, I still don't see that going away anytime soon. It may be somewhat muted here for the next several days and weeks, perhaps, but moving into 2008, I would get ready for some continued volatility and maybe even more than what we've seen lately, believe it or not.
Well, that's something to look forward to.
Well, it obviously we're not in 2008 yet, and you and I will talk several times between now and then, but with a lot of things we're seeing looking out just a little bit longer term, I think we need to prepare for some pretty dramatic volatility into 08. Now that doesn't mean bad. I always tell folks, they hear the word volatility, and they sometimes think that automatically means down all the time. Volatility is both ways. It's a lot of up and a lot of down. So that's what we're talking about.
I've got you. Just out of left field here, what kind of effect, if any, is the presidential campaign and all this hoopla having on the market? I mean, does the market just suspend all belief during this period of time and don't think rationally anymore? Or just, you know, what do you think? Does it have any effect on the market?
You mean currently, or what will it do into next year?
Currently, and
yeah.
and over the next year. I guess that's a two-part question.
Yeah. Now, you'll get different opinions on this, and this is all this is an opinion. I don't think it's a factor at the moment. It's just too far out, and there are so many people involved. I think there are so many people involved in the presidential race now as candidates, it's really hard to even get your hands around it at the moment because things are going to ebb and flow. You'll see a candidate slip in the polls and one seemingly come out of nowhere and all of a sudden start really improving. And Huckabee's a good example, really making a move here lately. And I'm horrible at predicting politics, Dave. You know that. So I won't even get into that. But at the moment, I don't think the presidential election is even a factor in the market. Now, as we move into 08, clearly a totally different picture. And that will be one of the elements involved in the market in the next year. And I think it'll be obviously an important element and one that can add to this volatility situation.
But that'll be basically after the conventions.
That's what I would think, yeah.
Mike, we need to pause here. Mike Barker is with us from Investment and Retirement Management. We're going to be right back after these messages. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. We're talking about the market this morning with Mike Barker from Investment and Retirement Management. The unemployment report's coming out after we get off the air this morning, right about when we're getting off the air, the jobs report.
Yeah.
I know you're a great big fan of this, and of course I'm being facetious. Anybody that listens to this program really know that you're not a real big fan. Now, we saw this ADP came out, on Wednesday, I believe. Big job gains, I think, a lot more than analysts had expected.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What does that mean? Is this going to influence the Fed, do you think, this employment report coming out this afternoon or right after the program, rather?
Yeah, would it influence the Fed? I kind of doubt it. But as soon as you say that, you get a monster number one way or the other, and then all of a sudden people talk about what it means to the Fed. So that's hard to say. But as I've said for months on the show, I don't put much weight in that report anyway that's coming out here this morning. It'll get all kinds of attention for some short period of time, and people get all excited one way or the other. But as often as this report is revised, and as big as this report has been revised at times in the past, I just don't know how folks can get all bent out of shape over this thing, when it comes out. But be that as it may, that folks will do it anyway. And the ADP report was big, and it was much bigger than folks were anticipating as far as jobs created. And frankly, I would put a little more weight on what's going on out there in reality with the ADP report. So pretty interesting. And there have been times in the past that the report that comes out this morning has been big time different than what the ADP report had said. And as big as that ADP report was, it'll be interesting to see if there's a big difference this time. I think, and I say this because I obviously don't follow this or put a lot of weight on it, so I don't check it like a lot of folks do, but I think the expectations, so to speak, are less than 100,000 jobs created. Do you know if that's the consensus out there?
I haven't checked. I don't know. But
I'm thinking it's just under 100,000, so that's dramatically different than what the ADP report showed.
That was in the range of 180, wasn't it?
180
jobs created. I can't imagine that that's what we're going to see later this morning.
My mind just went blank, but I thought the ADP report was much bigger than that. But I may be wrong.
I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah, I don't
either. Be that as it may, I'd ask you if you thought the Fed was going to react to this. What do you think the Fed is going to do when they meet next week.
Yeah, well, I think they'll cut rates. There's a little discussion about whether it's a quarter percentage point or a half percentage point. I will say that there's more reason to think it'll be a half percentage point than there was, say, 2 weeks ago. But all that said, I think they'll cut. And if I had to guess, I'd probably say a quarter percentage point. Someone asked me, in fact, this may be what you were getting at as well. Someone asked me yesterday if the employment report this morning is really, really strong, would that take the Fed off the table for next week? I don't think it will. Even if that report's really big, I don't think it'll take them off the table. I think they'll still cut rates for all kind of reasons, but the biggest being a lot of the things they've said the last few days, that points directly to a cut, in my opinion. And then secondly, and it's just something folks can just think about, but it would surprise me if they did not cut rates, given what's going on with all these proposals being thrown out there regarding the housing situation and mortgages. It just would not seem to make sense to me for the Federal Reserve to not, fall in the line, so to speak, by not cutting rates. That just would not make sense to me. And then finally, when you look at the yield on short-term treasuries, and you look at the spread or the gap between the Fed funds rate and short-term treasury yields, that also lends itself to the Fed cutting.
I see.
And with the 2-year at 3% roughly in yield, I just don't see any reason for the Fed funds rate to be as high as it is.
I see. Interesting. This morning we're talking about the market. We have Mike Barker on the line with us. He's a regular on this program. He's with Investment and Retirement Management. We're going to pause. We'll be right back. Stand by. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. Mike Barker's with us this morning. He's a regular. He's with Investment and Retirement Management. Mohawk was downgraded, and I was trying to think of exactly what day that was. I think it was Monday, maybe Tuesday. I don't remember what day. Doesn't matter. They were downgraded to sell by the Bank of America. What's your thinking on this, and what are you thinking about what investors might want to do on as a result of this, if anything?
Yeah, you're correct about that. They were downgraded by Bank of America to a sale. And I don't remember the exact day when Bank of America initiated coverage on Mohawk. I remember you and I talked about it several months ago. And I remember they initiated coverage at a neutral. And then, of course, a few days ago, they changed that rating to a sale. I wish I had the report and could give you more flavor on it, but I just do not have it. And so I don't know the rationale. I don't know the history or track record of the particular analyst involved. So, and maybe that's something we can convey to people. If you're an investor and you see a stock downgraded like that to a sale, if you don't know the track record of the analyst and have not seen the detail of the report, should you react to it? You know how I am. I generally don't react to this type stuff much either way in most cases. Now, in some cases, it's a little different story. If it's an analyst that I know really well and know their track record and consider them someone you better listen to. And in this case, I'm not saying that's not the case with this analyst. I just don't know. I don't know them. I don't know anything about them. They could be great for all I know. So the other reason it's important to look at the report and look at the rationale for the rating change is if it's downgraded due to all these things we're talking about with the economy, with all the recession chatter, with all that's going on in housing, you know, if it's all that stuff, I'm not sure I would consider that news. That to me would be something I would consider already known. and everyone knows that, and it's already in the stock. So that's just one element as an investor you may want to consider if that is the rationale for the downgrade. But again, I have not seen the report and just can't really comment on it specifically. I wish I could, but I just have not seen it.
Yeah, all I saw was the headline. I didn't see anything more than just the headline. Did you see anything more than that?
No, that's all I saw.
I see. So we'll just have to wait and watch on that one and not put that much credibility in it at this point, knowing what we know.
Well, I mean, not to be vague, that doesn't mean you don't put credibility in it. It just means it's difficult to make a decision based on it unless you have the background information I've just discussed. So,
I see.
I hope that makes sense.
Yeah. Looking at the market now, short term through the end of the year, what are your thoughts? What do you think we're going to be seeing?
Short term, it's pretty much what I talked about earlier. We just see a backdrop that looks much more favorable than it did, say, 6 to 8 weeks ago. And you know, here we are in December, and we have a Fed meeting coming up where they will most likely cut rates, so the market will probably view that as more help, at least short term. And I guess a good way to maybe distinguish between the two lines of thinking, you know, remember back when the Fed cut rates the first time, the market liked it. They first came out and cut the rate at the discount window, if folks remember, on that Friday morning. That was the day that the foreign markets overnight, you may remember this day, were just horrible. And the Fed came out, cut the rate at the discount window that Friday morning, and surprised folks, so to speak, and the market just went up nicely and things looked good for a while, short term. And then as things settled down and folks realized there were problems out there, and on it went, the market started going back down, went below where it was before they cut. And we went from there. So that's a good example, I think, of the difference in short-term versus longer-term thinking. So again, short-term, I think the market's in this mindset that there's more help coming. It's not a question short-term necessarily as to whether that help will work or not, but it's coming. And I think that's the state the market's in. Then it's December. You have the typically favorable seasonality involved in December. The Santa Claus rally chatter will start in the not-too-distant future for this month. And you don't really have any big earnings reports in December. There's typically not a lot of big corporate activity going on. So it's a fairly benign environment normally. I think when it gets interesting again is as we move into January, and earnings will be coming up for this quarter, and there's been a lot of turmoil this quarter. And it's going to be interesting to see what earnings are when companies announce earnings for this quarter in January.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, it'll be a pretty good time period away from the Fed meeting, whatever they do. And so that euphoria will probably subside to some degree. So it's a little different backdrop and a little bit different situation. And then finally, as I always tell folks, news coming out after the market's gone down a lot is typically handled better, if it's bad, I mean, as compared to if the market's gone up a lot and you get bad news and it's a surprise, that the market tends to handle that not quite as well because it's gone up a lot. Hope that makes sense. So it's all about the backdrop. And right now, short-term, the backdrop looks fairly favorable.
I see. Mike, I need to jump in here. We need to pause. Mike Barker is with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. We're looking at the market this morning with Mike Barker from Investment and Retirement Management. Going into next year, you mentioned all eyes are going to be on earnings. January, February, and what's happening there.
Yeah.
What about looking further on into the year? What are your expectations? You and I'm recalling a conversation we had off the air a couple of days ago. I think you framed 2008, calling it an interesting year. Just elaborate a bit on that.
Yeah, and Dave, before I do that, I just found the ADP number that I could not uh-huh. remember. And as it turns out, I think you were correct on this, if I remember what you said. The ADP number estimated change in employment from September to October was revised up 13,000 to 119,000 jobs, and then November's increase of 189,000 marked a further acceleration of non-farm private employment. So I think you said you thought it was right in that area.
Right.
So anyway, just to clear that up, back to your question about 2008. The reason I think 2008, and I'm really just scratching the surface here, I know you're tight on time, but you have moving into a year where we've had Fed rate cuts. Now, assuming that next week they cut again, they may not. We'll have to revise that, but I think they will. So assuming they do, you will have had three rate cuts by the Fed. You will have had the Fed doing things with the discount window. These government proposals that are being thrown out there to go after this mortgage problem and housing problem, there may or may not be more of that coming. You'll have earnings coming out in January that will give some sense of how impacted companies were by all this turmoil in the fourth quarter. And all this stuff going after subprime mortgages, as I said earlier, I think early 08 will be the time people realize this is not just a subprime problem, that it's broader than that, and it gets into mortgages that aren't just subprime. I also think we'll see some potential stress and problems in HELOCs, home equity lines of credit. And I'm not saying it's not out there, but I have not seen much chatter at all about potential problems there. So watch for that. Now, if all that unfolds like we think, the market may look at that as this problem getting worse. It may look at that as the proposals being thrown out there not being enough or not working or not having an impact or whatever you want to call it. So, and then you throw in the presidential election. There are just going to be so many things next year that are going to be brewing out there, I think, that we're going to have to deal with. And that doesn't mean they're all negative. We don't know that yet. But we'll just have to see how the market handles this stuff if we're right about this stuff. So that's just some of what we're talking about. And I really think the first, say, 3 to 6 months of next year will be one of the more interesting times we've seen in a long time.
It sounds like more volatility to me.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I can't feel more confident that we're going to see some pretty dramatic volatility next year. And, I mean, just as an example of volatility on the other side, I'm looking at what some of the home building stocks did yesterday in one day. I won't go through the names, but I've got six of them on my screen here from yesterday, and I'm seeing some up 15%, 12%, 17%, 12%, 14%. I mean, you get the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Those are big, dramatic moves in one day in a sector, the home building stocks, that have just been decimated this year. Now, don't get me wrong here. That doesn't even blip the damage that's been done in those stocks this year. So many of those stocks are down well over 50%, and in some cases 60 and 70%, if not more. So my point there is, That's a great example of volatility in a sector that's been down a lot this year, but then all of a sudden in one day, you can get a year's worth of gains in a day. So and the other reason I point that out is it's a good example of how stocks can react when they perceive help coming. So just want to point that out. It's an interesting perspective, I think.
Well, Mike, we're going to have to leave it there. I appreciate the enlightenment. It was very interesting and a lot of things to keep our eyes on going forward.
Yeah, I think so. Plenty on the plate as we move forward here, for
you
sure.
Got it. Well, as always, thanks very much. I enjoyed it.
Me too, Dave.
We'll see you soon, and have a good weekend.
You too.
We've been speaking with Mike Barker. He is with Investment and Retirement Management. This is Floor Radio.